Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing this week's SmackDown Live at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. This week, one of our regular chat room contributors, Derek, actually attended SmackDown, and he sent me some insights as they were happening live, and some very interesting things, actually, going on with SmackDown, and a few really, head-scratching ones as well. So we're going to get to that in just a moment. Before we start in on SmackDown, we had announced, and many outlets had announced, that Big Cass had been on that European tour and looked as though he was hurt each match, but it seemed to be a work because he would limp off, and then the next night he would wrestle and do the same thing and limp off. And the word was, we think this is a work, that he's selling the knee injury. Because every week, every match, he does the same thing. But now, apparently, the word is that he may have actually indeed re-injured that knee. And that he is going for some evaluation. And if he does need knee surgery, we're talking 6 more months. I'm going to be very frank with you. We're probably talking about the end of his WWE career, and here's why. If you remember, WWE normally does a house cleaning after WrestleMania. They get rid of people that they're not going to use, or, you know, Swagger was a victim of it. Countless numbers of people. They kind of do a house cleaning right after WrestleMania. They didn't do it this year. A lot of people have said, why? You know, that's a regular thing. They've been doing it for years and years. Well, the answer may be as simple as this. Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks All In show, scheduled up in a few months, has made the WWE think twice about releasing any talent, especially when they openly said we were going to have Daniel Bryan on the card should he not have resigned. So now the WWE is taking a look at this, saying if we let someone go now, they'll show up on this show, guaranteed, and they'll ride our publicity. Now, most of these guys have a 90-day no-compete. So that means right around the first week in June, they would not be able to compete in that all-in event that the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes are holding. So look for these releases to be somewhere in like the first week in June, second week in June. And I would be very, very worried if I was Cass with a big injury. I would be very, very worried if I was Mike Kanellis. I would be very, very worried if I were several of the 205 Live guys. And a couple of NXT people are always cut loose. So that could be why the WWE has not done their spring cleaning, so to speak. Maybe more of an early summer cleaning, thanks to this all-in show being held in a few months. Okay, so let's get right to this. I spoke with Derek before the event actually took place, and he was saying that the crowd was filing in, but they had tarped off a good section of the upper sections of this venue, which in effect means we're not coming close to selling this out. Now, he said for the sections that were not tarped off, it was a pretty good, it was a respectable house. It was not sold out. Even if you take into consideration the tarped off areas, it still wasn't sold out. But it was a good crowd, apparently, at least in that sense. And they started the show off, I guess, with a couple of dark matches. One being inexplicably a women's title defense. So we did not see it on TV, but apparently Carmella took on Becky Lynch. Retained. I don't know if it was for the belt or not. It could have been a non-title, I'm not sure. But either way, Carmella wins. And my reaction was much like Derek's reaction, and that is you're putting a title match or your champion in a dark match, and then she's not going to be involved in anything here on SmackDown. Why? And once again, it's, well, you know, we had the Lana match. Well, we have the Naomi match, so we can't fit in another female match, I guess. Wow, you couldn't have had the Naomi match on the pre-show? I understand why you didn't have the Lana match. It's a qualifier for the Money in the Bank, but you couldn't have had Naomi and Sonya Deville on the pre-show? Or the whatever you want to call it, the dark matches? That's, wow. Stunning, really. Maybe they just didn't want the TV audience to see Becky Lynch lose again. Because as we've said on this show for a long time, when the WWE finally does get around to giving the fans what they want, they tend to do it in a way that the fans don't want it to happen, you know? It's like the old story, the monkey's paw. I don't know if any of you people read this type of stuff, but, you know, the monkey's paw gives you a wish, but it doesn't say how. So you say, oh, I wish my loved one was alive, but they come back in the ultimate agony that they were in 2 seconds before death, and they're going to be that way forever. WWE is like that. Oh, I wish they'd push Rusev. Fine, we'll push Rusev, but we're going to do it by unpushing Daniel Bryan. Well, no, that's not what we wanted. Oh, I wish they'd do something with Lana. Well, okay, but, you know, not at the expense of destroying whatever credibility the Iconics have. They tend to do that a lot. And Derek was saying, well, the crowd is ready to go. The crowd is psyched. But by the end of the night, not so much. Because they were confused about a few things. But we're going to start from the very beginning. The Miz comes out. According to Derek, he gets a very good pop. Almost a face pop. And then we could hear it on TV, too. I mean, they don't drown it out that much anymore like they used to. So we hear that the Miz is getting a halfway decent pop. He runs the town down a little bit and sports teams down a little bit. And then he gets the crowd to, you know, chant for Miz and Miss or whatever the hell the name of the show is. And you know, pop for him being one of the greatest champions of all time. And out come the New Day. And I really thought we're going to have something good here. Because what I actually thought was going to happen is the Miz was going to drive a wedge between the members of the New Day. Thought they were going to start bickering over which one deserved to go to Money in the Bank. I really did. And I said, okay, well, you know what? As much as I think it's a mistake to break up the New Day in any way, shape, or form, because they're not old yet. They just keep reinventing themselves. Maybe a brief little hiatus as not enemies, but, you know, they're not getting along might actually play well. So let's see what happens. No, none of that happens. They basically just clown around with the Miz a little bit and say it doesn't really matter which one of us it is. Could be him, could be me, could be any of us. It's all for one and one for all. The Miz says, no, 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 no. You've got to pick. They won't pick. He says, it doesn't matter because I can beat you all. And then they said, fine, it'll be Big E. So he says, okay, so we now have an exclusive. Big E's the one going to Money in the Bank. And they say, oh, no, 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 it's not that. Big E's the one who's going to fight you tonight. You said you could beat us all. So we'll start with Big E. You can. Apparently, they're probably going to have Kofi next week and Xavier the week after. I guess that's the way that's going to work. But the Miz initially says, no, I'm not doing that, and he just leaves. He bumps into Paige, who has suddenly become, you know, an uber face now, and says, no, you are going back there, and you are going to fight Big E. Okay, a good opening to the show. The Miz is always hot, so it's always a great way to open the show. The only problem is, of course, it's very hard to get a lot of heat off the Miz because the Miz is popular. So the New Day's not really getting the pop that they want off the Miz, but they go in there, they put on a pretty good match. I thought they put on a pretty good match. And again, now other people are saying it, but we were the original people to say how many times do you have to say that was a pretty good Miz match and credit his opponent before you finally say it must be the Miz because all of the matches are good? So I think it's time for people to just understand that the Miz hasn't put on a bad match in a while, and that's not an accident. So I was entertained by the match. I thought Sheamus and Cesaro coming out lended a little bit of credibility to the whole feud. And also, you know, that's the Miz's style anyway. If he's going to win, he should win that way. So everybody seemed to be okay with the opening match. Derek's reaction to it is, well, it was hard because there are a number of people rooting for the Miz. And so it's not one of these things where you can get up a really good chant of the Miz sucks or let's go Big E because half the crowd's the other way. But all in all, Mike, it wasn't a bad opening to SmackDown.
It wasn't a bad opening, and it wasn't a bad match, you know. And you know, that's the thing now. I mean, I'm still waiting for them to do something with Paige, you know, where, yeah, she's an uber face now. But, you know it's coming. You know at some point it's coming. You know, she'd be you weren't gonna turn Daniel Bryan on Shane McMahon because he's too popular. Paige is, yes, she's popular now, but, you know, she could be a heel general manager if they wanted her to be.
Yeah, I mean, she could. I don't know if they're going to do it in the near future because they right away put the rest of her little stable over there and she's kind of set them. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. But, I mean, The Miz, Todd, another good match. Pretty good opening to SmackDown.
You're absolutely right there. I like the part they're making fun of The Miz is who I'm going to face, Big E or Xavier or Kofi. And they're, like, picking on him, like,
listen, they don't get old. I mean, they just keep reinventing new things to be funny with. And I thought the shame thing with hitting them in the face with pancakes was actually pretty funny. It's been a little while since I actually laughed out loud at anything the New Day did. I usually just kind of smirk. But I actually did laugh at that because it just – and if you watch The Miz's face, he's trying hard not to laugh while he's being hit in the face with, you know, Frisbee pancakes. While they're chanting shame, which is it's pretty funny. What do you think of the opening, Sabretooth?
Pretty good opening, man. It just made me wish that they would expand on this thing with that the Miz has going with the New Day. I hope they make it into like a feud between him and those three guys because the possibilities of what he can say about those guys, especially as far as Paige. I mean, the things he can probably get at about Paige and Xavier Woods, you know, I mean, knowing how Miz likes to like comment on certain stuff that people be like, oh my God, he went there. Can you imagine him, like alluding to the whole phone video between Paige and Xavier?
Oh,
you know him alluding to that.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking that, if he ever decided to, like take note that Paige made him have that match, he might have something against Paige. He can use that. And also, I like during the match how Kofi jumped over Cesaro to get at Sheamus, when they ensued in the match, he jumped over Cesaro's shoulder and jumped on Sheamus. I'm like, damn, Kofi. I mean, he made it look pretty easy, but that's all to do, you know.
Yeah, listen, the New Day, the one thing you got to understand about the New Day that a lot of people have forgot is they're not just a comedy act. New Day does the good comedy stuff and they do the entertaining, but when you break it all down, they can put on great matches. They're great athletes, all of them. So it's not like all they can do is comedy. That's why they don't get old. A lot of people have said to me, they've had a lot of staying power with this. Why? Well, the answer is very simple. It's not just because they keep reinventing the comedy stuff. It's because they can deliver when they actually wrestle. So people don't get sick of them because they say, well, this was a great match. This was a really good match. Look at the Usos, Hell in a Cell matches and things. I mean, they deliver. So it's never disappointing to say, well, Kofi's going to take on this guy or Xavier's going to take on this guy or Big E's going to take on this guy or any combination of the two or three-man tag. You know it's going to be good. So they can deliver the goods after the comedy, after the entertainment. And that is usually – the reason you are a comedy wrestler is because you can't. So New Day's an exception to that rule, and I think they're doing very well. I really do. I'm still entertained by the New Day, so I don't want to see them break up. I don't want to see them go separate ways. If they want to do a thing where they all wrestle solo, that's fine, as long as they're still a cohesive unit. It won't matter. And I don't think the fans are sick of them. I really don't. I think the fans are still, you know, behind them. It's just they haven't had in a while a real heel to play off of. The Usos are almost as popular, if not just as popular. The Bludgeon Brothers was about it, but they didn't get a chance to do much because it was basically a squash match. So they haven't had the benefit. They're getting over without having had the benefit of really having really good heel team or heel person to play off of, which makes it even more impressive. Anyway, we now get to a really funny spot with Aiden. Listen, Aiden English has really, really come along. His ability as a Broadway entertainer and things is really coming through. And he has a good personality for this kind of thing. He doesn't really even have to wrestle all that much to be over. And he's over now. He is 100% over. And now he comes out and does the whole Lana song. And, I mean, you can keep this up forever, really. For a long time, you could keep this up. It's not going to get old. And I'm so glad they dropped that Lana wants to get rid of him routine, because that, tell you what, that went over like a fart in church. I mean, even the WWE must have sensed that and said, oops, forget we did that. Fans did not like that. They like this much better. So Aiden English comes out. He introduces Lana. She's going to fight, which was it, Billie Kay or Peyton Royce from the Iconics? And I'm saying to myself, look, as nice as this is to see Lana, she can't win because she has not been shown to be able to take on anybody. She was losing to people in, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds. So she's not been shown to be someone who you say, well, she's competition. But no, she wins. Which effectively kills the Iconics. Because if they can't beat Lana, then they're sure as hell not beating Charlotte. They're sure as hell not beating Becky Lynch. They're sure as hell not beating Naomi. They're not beating anybody. And that's what I say when, that's what I mean when I say the WWE tends to give you what you want. They give you Lana and push her a little bit. They give it to you in a way you don't want. It's, I don't want it at the expense of the Iconics who just showed up here. Could we not have had somebody else come out of that dressing room? Even if she got a cheap victory over, you know, someone else, even if it was Becky Lynch. Anybody. But did it have to be the newly arriving Iconics who have a little bit of wave of momentum? And Derek was saying they got one of the biggest heel responses all night. Meaning that the majority of the audience was booing them. For two reasons. A, they're good on the mic. And they're good on the mic in a really good way. Meaning that even though they do things that you might think is a little bit funny, it's really only funny to them. In other words, some heels come out and they say something that's funny to the whole crowd. And the crowd's like, oh yeah, he's kind of right about that. That's funny. The Iconics come out and say things that are horribly insulting and rude, but they think it's funny. And they have a very good way of making the crowd say, yeah, that's not funny, they're just idiots. And they're annoying. And those are the type of people you kind of want to push. Now, I would not have cried any tears had the other one interfered and cost Lana the match and, you know, Aiden English and Rusev are furious about it and yelling at Paige over it and stuff. That would have been okay with me. That Lana being in this match was like, well, we'll give the fans what you want, Lana, so bad, fine. But we're going to do it at the expense of the Iconics. And then if you complain, we're going to say, well, what do you want? You don't know what you want. So apparently Lana's in it. Now, Derek's perspective sitting there as a fan is, where in the blue hell is Rusev? And fans really wanted to see him. And I guess he wasn't there because no dark match or nothing as far as I know. So, Mike, that was a little weird.
They made a point of saying he was in Bulgaria or something like that. That they made that point. Now, was he actually in Bulgaria? Who knows? Now, as far as the whole situation, I'll put it to you this way. I can't remember the last time I went back and I watched a segment of either Raw or SmackDown more times than I watched this segment. You know, the whole thing. From the time when he comes out, when he and Lana come out, to the end of the match. I mean, the reaction she gave at the end of the match looked legitimate. It looked like she was surprised. It looked like she was happy, you know. And then when she was up on the ropes and doing the whole Lana Day thing, that Lana Day thing, that's going to be big. That's going to be big like Rusev Day, you know.
Yeah, I think so. What's your opinion on them using the Iconics, though, like that? Isn't that the sort of counterproductive? You could have pushed Lana without ruining the Iconics.
Right. You could have brought out Mandy Rose or Mandy Rose, Paige's old crew, you know.
Yeah. Sony DeVille went later with Naomi, but still.
Right. But, yeah. Yeah, I could have done it without that, but on the whole, I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was that type of thing. I mean, I know how they had the whole night set up and what ended up the night, but if they would have ended up the night with that match and that ending, that's a moment.
Yeah, it was one of the bigger moments, and Derek said it was one of the louder moments, you know, where the fans really got into it. I guess my only problem is, if you can't find anyone else to throw up against Lana, then I'm a little worried. Maybe you just don't have enough women in this division. Because you shouldn't be killing the Iconics to push Lana, you know? And unfortunately, Sabretooth, the way they have been booking Lana, a loss to Lana makes you look pretty inept.
Right. And also, in WWE, they have a funny way of killing heel heat. It's like once a heel's supposed to get heat, it's like they temper it down. Lana should have lost that match last night because the Iconics, they have their heel heat still coming off of Carmella getting that cashing in on Charlotte. So that, you know what I'm saying? But the help, I mean, like, so getting a win, cheating Lana over that victory out of Money in the Bank would have gotten them, would have kept their heel heat going. And also, that match needs like some fresh blood in it, man. We got the same old girls in this pay-per-view besides Ember Moon. Everybody else is like we've seen. You know what I'm saying? We need like some new girls in this match. So the Iconics should have been in, they should have won.
It would have been nice. It would have been nice. That's what I mean when I say the WWE often gives you what – when they give fans what they want, they do it in a way that it's kind of the way you don't want it to happen, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's giving them what they want at times, and it's not giving what they want at times, technically.
Yeah, because you're doing it at the expense of something else. That comes a little bit later on, too, in this show. Look, up to now, it's not that SmackDown hasn't been good. It's been that the fans have only had that one real big thing to root for, and that was, will Lana win? And they got it. So, I mean, I guess it was good, especially for the live audience, and it got Lana over. I just wish it hadn't have been at the expense of the Iconics, who were just barely in, because now they really do just look like girls who are all talk and no go. Okay, Almas, another local competitor, which makes zero sense. This really bothered me. We get a speech about how he deserves far better, and last week was an insult, and then they do it again? So, okay, we're getting the fact. Almas is getting the slow build, which is fine. But, you know, then don't have his business partner there come out and say, well, we deserve better competition than we had last week, and then he didn't get it. I don't know his first feud's going to be with. My presumption is it's going to be somebody pretty low on the totem pole. But, you know, they're doing the slow build because they've got big things in mind for him. We then get another mind-blowing thing. Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows are going to take on the Usos, and the winner gets a shot at the Bludgeon Brothers. Now, I'm saying to myself, sitting in my chair, they're not going to give it to the Usos again. The Usos have already fought the Bludgeon Brothers time and time and again. Are they going to keep on fighting them? But there is no way on earth the club is winning this, because they haven't been shown to be anywhere near the quality of the Usos. That's the way they're booked. No, lo and behold, clean victory. And you say to yourself, okay, who hit the reset button? And did it have to be reset quite this fast? Could they have gotten a victory or two before? Because I don't see them as a serious threat to the Usos, and I'll tell you right now, I don't see them as a serious threat to the Bludgeon Brothers. So now the fans are just like, oh, okay, cool, the club's going to fight the Bludgeon Brothers, and if the Usos and the New Day got squashed by them, you know, I just don't see this as anything too positive for the club, because it's almost like, well, who's next up to be squashed by the Bludgeon Brothers, Mike?
Yeah, you're right. And the thing is it, I mean, when they first bring them in and they put them with AJ, okay, and they put him with AJ and it looks like they're going to put them back together, then you're saying, okay, how are they going to get to the point where they're going to be together again? Now, they're just starting to push the Bludgeon Brothers. Now, who's going to beat them, and when are they going to beat them? You know, who's going to beat the Bludgeon Brothers and when? It's not going to be anytime soon. And, I mean, they just beat the Usos, and the New Day is doing whatever they're doing. Who else do they have on the roster? You know?
That's exactly correct. You've hit the nail right on the head. That's why I knew it was going to be the club, and that's why I say this totally sucks. Because they've not been built up to look like they can even come close to beating the Bludgeon Brothers. Sabretooth is saying it reminds him of how they did Jinder. Yeah, well, this is the problem with it. It's such inconsistent booking. They look around and say, wait a minute, who's our top tag teams for the Bludgeon Brothers to fight? Oh, it's already beat the New Day. They already beat the Usos. We don't have anybody else. Okay, quick, let the club beat the Usos, and then everybody will think they're back to being a threat again. That's not the way you build anybody up. That's an insult. And the Bludgeon Brothers aren't even on the show. So let me get this straight. We do not have a world championship match. AJ's on the show, but he doesn't defend it. The women's title may or may not have been, I think it was on the line, but I'm not sure, in a dark match. The tag team champions aren't even there. And the U.S. belt isn't on the line during the match with later on. Okay. Wow. You know, that's not doing the audience any good, really, to be honest. They'd like to see – I know they got to see some of the people, but still. Anyway, we get Naomi and Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville's credibility has just faded into nothing. It's sad because it's to the point where Naomi beating her doesn't even help Naomi. You know, it's – the women's division, folks, I'm telling you, it's not being taken seriously. They can say all they want, it's being taken seriously. But when they miss opportunities by saying, look, here's Sonya Deville. She's a legit MMA fighter and a legit badass. And we could build her up to maybe do something with Ronda Rousey, build her up to do something with some other people, Asuka. And then they say, no, we can't do that because that's Ronda's gig. She's the MMA fighter. So make Sonya a non-factor. Okay. Well, you're sure doing a good job of that. And how does that help the women's division? If you're so serious about the women's division, how come a title defense or even the champion having a match is on the dark matches? You know, that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry. So anyway, I mean, the match is what it was, but Sabretooth, I don't know. I mean, because of the Bludgeon Brothers not being around and losing all their heat, and let's face it, they've lost a lot of their heat. We've dropped this Naomi angle with the Bludgeon Brothers and the Usos, which was getting interesting. It just feels like they reset Naomi every week to the point where we don't even know where her head's at, so we can't really root for her or against her. It's just like she's there.
Right. And the fact that Sonya lost that match, I like the match. I mean, like, they were showing, like, I mean, like, she was, I mean, like, she was taking it to Naomi. She was using MMA style fighting against Naomi. And I thought that she was going to win that match because she had Naomi beat, I thought. But then that was wins by a roll up. Like I said, they need new blood in this Money in the Bank match. And also, what did Mandy Rose? I mean, why is she? I mean, she didn't. I mean, she didn't. She just stood at ringside and didn't do a damn thing. I mean, are they heels or what? No cheating or nothing though. I mean, Mandy Rose just, she didn't do anything.
I know.
I don't get that, man.
I mean, it's baffling how they just don't want to promote the women's division. See, I think we're the only people that see it. I get a lot of people that email me and saying, I don't know how you don't think they're promoting the women's division. They have two matches on a two-hour show. And I mean, how much more do you want them to do? I don't want them to give them any more matches. I want them to utilize who they have. And they're not. Just like Sabretooth said, you can't get Mandy Rose a little heat. Just a little. You can't do something with Sonya Deville. You're not doing anything with anybody. You've got your champion, you got Charlotte Flair and Asuka. That's it. The rest of the people, there's no even reason for them to exist. Becky Lynch hasn't won a match in I don't know how long. The Iconics showed up, and I thought we really have a chance for these two to be a big faction. And they have just been beaten and humiliated and embarrassed and shown as jabronis to the point where you're like, they're not tough. Who cares? They can't get by Lana. So they're sure as hell not getting by Charlotte, so they're done. We have Naomi, who's hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold, until she just gets boring, which is a shame because she's the best athlete in the damn federation. But there's nothing to root for there. And when you do have a chance to say, geez, if you're going to go out to the ringside anyway, can you get yourself a little heat? Nope, can't do that. Frustrating. And like Sabretooth said in the chat room, if you wanted to hit the reset button in Anderson and Gallows, why are they doing the nerds thing? Why are they still saying everybody's a nerd? If they think this is working and they're going to get like t-shirt cred on this and like, you know, forget it. You better come up with a new catchphrase because this is not going to work. It's actually kind of just embarrassing. But yeah, I don't know, Sabretooth. I mean, Naomi is a great athlete and all, and Sonya Deville is you know, a legit fighter, but so much missed opportunity in this match, I thought.
You're right. Here's something else to think about. I pay attention to NXT. You look how they're treating Shayna Baszler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same type of girl as the girl, but you look how they're treating her. You look how they're treating Bianca Belair. They're starting to push Bianca Belair up the ranks to the point of where she's going to be able to compete for that championship. That's how you do things. I mean, They could have been long ago. They could have been pushing. They could have been pushing Lana up the ranks some to where at this point it wouldn't have mattered whether she beat one of the Iconics. you know?
See, I agree with that. That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't care if you're going to push Lana, but then show that Lana has improved. Have the announcers say, you know, Lana's really improved these last couple of weeks. She's no joke anymore. Because it was just a few weeks ago when everybody was laughing at her. You're not really an athlete, and Charlotte Flair beats her in 5 seconds, and somebody else beats her in 5 seconds, and, you know, it's a joke. And then all of a sudden, here come the Iconics who, oh, man, they're going to be a challenge for Charlotte, and then all of a sudden, now we can't even beat Lana. You can't go to that extreme. You can't have a person be a jabron, a jabron, a jabron, a jabron. Bring in somebody and say, here's going to be somebody who's, for the next, you know, 6-8 months, are going to be right on the top of the ladder here, and then have the jabron beat them. Because when you do, then they lose all their credibility, and you say, okay, well, they're not. How about if Almas loses next week? Almas loses to, Ty Dillinger. Upset victory. You think that's not going to kill Almas? How do you go back from that and say, no, I'm going to challenge the champion? What? You can't beat Ty Dillinger. See, that's the problem. And that's why I tell you they're not taking the women's division seriously, because they don't do that with the men. Almas ain't losing to nobody for a while, because they're going to take him seriously. The Iconics come in. They right away lost to Charlotte Flair. Okay, at least she's a top dog, so you're like, well, whatever. But now I lost to Lana? And it's not like I don't like Lana. I'm all for this Lana Day, and I'm all for this Aiden English thing and the whole team. But then you have got to push Lana ahead of time and say, we're going to have Lana in this Money in the Bank thing. Or how about if you just had this happen? How about if you just had, the other Iconic accidentally cost her girl a match? Maybe get disqualified. I think it would have been a funny finish if, like, they got disqualified, realized they got disqualified, jump in and they both start beating on Lana, and Aiden English is torn between, do I jump in and hit a woman or what do I do? The fans would have been like, do something. He could have been there, well, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do? It would have been funny. You might have had a moment there. But no, it's just kill the Iconics off and that's it. Good enough. Does Sonya Deville have any heat? Does anybody think Sonya Deville is a world beater right now? No. Does anybody think that Money in the Bank is going to be won by Naomi? No. Naomi's storyline was supposed to be some kind of bizarre thing about, her not wanting her man to fight the Bludgeon Brothers anymore. And for some twisted reason, the Bludgeon Brothers don't necessarily have the whatever to ignore Naomi. Somewhere in there, I thought, but no, it was just lost. It was just lost. So we get the AJ Styles thing. Listen, here's the problem with it, and Derek had confirmed this. Again, he was there live. Half the fans are still rooting for Nakamura. And the reason they are? Because he's a big star. And when you're there live, you're like, oh, there's Nakamura. And he hasn't done anything bad enough so that the fans will say, screw him. Screw Nakamura. As a matter of fact, he challenges AJ Styles to a pillow fight. You think that wasn't going to get a round of laughter and applause? That was very ill-advised if you really want him to be a bad guy. Now, had he said, I'm sure you hope I challenge you to a pillow fight because any of these American athletes up here couldn't handle much more than that, then maybe you'd get some heat from that line. But why wasn't this match some kind of a, special, rules match like they have in Japan? Why did it have to be just a last man standing match? Now, yeah, it was a pretty good little fight they had there, and, the audience got into it, but once again, I think the point of it was missed, and Nakamura didn't get the huge heat he had hoped for. And this is a real problem. for the WWE because they don't have heels. We've went through this entire show, and who did they have? The Miz. He gets just as many applause as he does boos. So not a heel you can build a face off of. Samoa Joe. He gets just as many applause as he does boos. You're not building any faces off him. Nakamura, you're not building any faces off him. The Bludgeon Brothers, it's irrelevant at this point. You got nobody for them to fight. You know, who do you got? Who's your SmackDown top heel, Todd? That's the thing. Who is SmackDown's top heel?
Technically supposed to be The Miz, but anybody else? Nobody.
It's supposed to be The Miz, but he's getting the applause. Here's the problem. We don't have a lot of time. We'll get into it more on Sunday's show, but the main problem is this. When the WWE signs a half a billion, and that's billion with a B, dollar TV deal between Raw and SmackDown, $500 million, they could have their show be Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar in a tiddlywinks contest every week, and it does matter. Because that $500 million is still going in their bank account. So now they do not have a tremendous incentive. They're not relying on the gate. Let me put it in perspective for you. If you were a promoter and you were going to promote a concert, and you didn't have any artists yet, and they said, well, look, if you're going to promote this concert, we'll give you $500 million. Without even knowing who you're going to have there, what's your incentive to hire the greatest people you can? What's your incentive to say we have to do the very best we can because we have to sell tickets? You don't have to sell tickets. You've already made $500 million. You go hire some local band down the street for $50 and pocket $500 million. Now, the WWE is not going to hire cheap wrestlers. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is they don't have any incentive to make you buy a ticket anymore. Whatever they serve up is going to be good enough because they still got the $500 million in their back pocket. So they don't, oh, big deal. SmackDown barely, did half the building. So what? We got a $500 million TV deal. Huh. Raw's crowd was down 5,000 people from last week. Yeah. So what? We got a $500 million in our pocket. See, that's unfortunately their mindset. And that's why we're not getting compelling storylines, and we're getting these confusing, one week they're a jabron, next week they're a champion, because they don't really care. It's just like, just fly from the seat of your pants and everything will be fine. Because we're not making our money anymore on the fans. We're making our money on the television networks and on our sponsors and in other places. And Sabretooth, that's what's hurting the most in the WWE.
Yeah, sadly it is. And also, the one thing that I take away from last night's show was that, like you said, the heels, I mean, like, there was no heat built on their heels. I mean, you had perfect opportunities. Everyone loves Lana. I mean, all I had to do was just, like, have the iconic, like, jumper at the end of the match, at least. I mean, just to build some heat. They didn't do that. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. She had Mandy Rose out there with her. I mean, like, they could have at least, like, cheated or jumped on the army after the match to build some heat. Did no one build any heat last night except for the Bar when they jumped the New Day? That's it.
Could this not have been the perfect opportunity to have, like, if you didn't want to promote the Iconics heat, and like you said, have them jump her after the match even, and Aiden English, what can he do? He's not going to punch a girl, so he's got to be like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? It'll be funny, at least, or interesting, and we get some heat. But if you didn't want to do that, would this not have been the perfect opportunity to start a feud for Rusev where someone comes down, starts beating the frig out of Aiden English, it distracts Lana, the Iconics win, Lana's not in Money in the Bank. She says, well, in a way, it's not really Aiden's fault, but it sort of is because Rusev wasn't there. So then Rusev could say, well, look, my wife is not in Money in the Bank because of this man. And, first he fights Aiden English. Maybe he gets by Aiden English, but then he's got to fight Rusev. Can you not at least do that?
Anything would have been, anything would have been better than what we got. I mean, like I said, I mean, like, with no storylines or anything pushed. I mean, like you said, if they got $1 billion, now they can cut corners, basically. And that's what they, and then last night was an example. They cut corners. They didn't, you know, they gave us nothing, really.
So we get Daniel Bryan, and he's going to face Jeff Hardy for whatever reason. Okay, he does not beat Rusev, so he gets to fight Jeff Hardy. See, this is what I mean. It's just throw a dart at a name, and that's who fights who. There's no longer any pecking line. There's no longer any, you could lose 3 straight matches, and the next week he's getting a shot at the title. Why? The whole thing's illogical. So it wasn't a title match, but still. And Jeff Hardy's working hurt, so he couldn't do as much as he probably wanted to do. But the bottom line is Daniel Bryan goes over. Here's the thing that was most surprising. Derek, who was there live, says the crowd was okay for Daniel Bryan, but it wasn't huge. It wasn't the reaction you would think you'd get for Daniel Bryan. Well, let's see why. Because they like Jeff Hardy. See, this is where you're having a problem. Because you don't have any heels, you got to have faces fight faces, or people who fans like. And you got to do it on a regular basis. And Derek made a good point to me there live when he said, fans are confused about who to cheer for. They want to cheer Daniel Bryan, but in doing so, it's almost like they're booing Jeff Hardy. They don't want to do that either. So now they're caught between, well, what do we do? Do we chant for Jeff Hardy? Do we chant for Daniel Bryan? Or do we just sit and watch the match and say, whoever wins, I'm okay with it? And that's exactly what I've been warning you about day one. You can't have that because the crowd then gets quiet because they're confused about who to cheer for. You've got to give them a very clear good guy and a bad guy most of the time. You can get away with, you know, AJ Styles and Finn Balor once in a blue moon. But WWE's doing it weekly. Weekly. And they're not getting away with it, Mike, because fans are becoming quiet because they're confused on who to cheer for.
That's another thing that made that whole, yeah, you might not have liked the result, but the whole Lana thing, you know, because the fans knew who to cheer for.
Yeah,
and they wanted
exactly
to cheer for, and they knew who not to cheer for, you know. And
correct.
That's what made that thing. That's how come that thing seemed so loud, because they knew. They knew. This is you're right. You're right on this. When you're doing this every week, now, with AJ and Nakamura, I guess you can't be helped. But you can't you find somebody to put, I mean, we know Jeff Hardy's working hurt right now. Can't you find a heel to put that title around to, if you had one, to have that boom, that explosion from the crowd, you know? When Daniel Bryan comes out and he wins, can't you find somebody? And as far as the whole money issue you talked about, the $300 million, $500 million, it's almost like the NFL. The NFL makes a ton of money off of these television contracts. You know, almost $50-80 million off of the, and they don't care whether or not these guys kneel for the national anthem because their money's already been made. You see?
And they don't even really care if the fans come in the building. They don't care if the fans come in the building. It's not like, oh, that's our main source of revenue. Their main source of revenue is the TV deal, and that's exactly what the WWE's become. So their main source of revenue isn't whether Joe Blow goes to the Garden and buys a $90 ticket. It just isn't anymore. That's the problem. It used to be. You used to have to do the house, man. If you can't do the house, now WWE can technically lose money on every single show. They could tell the audience, you can just come in for free. Like most TV shows that tape do. They could just say, you can all come in for free. It doesn't really matter. That's just icing on a cake. So now where is the incentive, other than the ratings, Where is the incentive to give you great product? And they're not now. Now what they're doing is just they're throwing the dart on the wall and saying, who we got back there? You fight you. That's fine. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, you haven't won a match in a while. Go out and win a match, even though it makes the person you just beat look stupid because, you know, they've won three in a row and you haven't won one since last October. But, hey, that's the way it goes around here. Yeah, I know, and it sucks because the fans don't know who to root for. There's no established pecking order, especially in the women's division, but even in the men's division to some extent. And it gets to be a confusing thing. You want that Lana Iconics feel to almost all of your matches where there is a clear favorite. And this is the person you want to win because then they can work their gold. But here's the problem with the WWE. It's either we don't give the fans what they want at all, or it's instant gratification and they cut their nose off to spite their face. Yes, we want to see Lana. Yes, we want to see her succeed, but we don't want to see her succeed overnight. Can we have a story behind this? Could we have that the Iconics cheated in some way and then she says, well, I want revenge on them or whatever? Does it have to be? Nope, she vanquished the Iconics and now forevermore. Anytime the Iconics beat anybody, you say, oh, that's funny because they couldn't beat Lana. See, that's the problem. There was a million other ways to end that that would have been just as satisfactory. They could have just had the Iconics be disqualified. Lana's still going to Money in the Bank if that's what you wanted. It would have been a lot better than this. Or at least get something out of it. You didn't really get anything out of it. And you're not getting anything out of anything you're doing. The minute that The Miz said, I could beat all three of you, any whoever's in this, you know, Money in the Bank, it doesn't matter because I can beat all three of you. And they started out with Big E. I said, okay, well, we know what the programming schedule is going to be for the next 2 weeks, don't we? The Miz versus Xavier Woods and The Miz versus Kofi Kingston. Not that they're not going to be good matches. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Is The Miz going to lose to one of them, and that's the guy who's going to go in? Is that how the New Day is going to decide? Whichever guy beats The Miz, that's the guy who goes in? Probably. So it'll be Xavier. We need legit heels. People who the fans do not like and will root for the face every time, 90% of the, at least 90% of the fans will. We don't have any of that. None of it at all. When you got Daniel Bryan against Jeff Hardy and the crowd's quiet, and that's according to a guy sitting in the damn audience, he's saying, yeah, they gave Daniel Bryan a nice pop. They gave Jeff Hardy a nice pop, but then it got kind of quiet because you're like, well, I don't know. I'll just sit and watch the match. I don't really care who wins. I like them both. That's a problem. I'm sorry, but that's a problem because that's not wrestling. Wrestling is supposed to be about the good guys and the bad guys, good versus evil, you know, and that's what you have to give your steady diet of. You can get away once in a while with, you know, face versus face or heel versus heel, but not every week, twice a week. Because fans get confused over who to even cheer for. So they don't cheer for anybody. And then you get a quiet crowd. And then you scratch your head and say, I wonder why the crowd was quiet. Well, what do you think? It's not rocket science. So this is where we're, you know, what we're left with. SmackDown is a good little show. And here's the deal. I'm tired of a good little show. A company just signed a deal that's going to make them $500 million before they sell one ticket. And the best they can come up with is a good little show. That's baloney. That's called I'm not trying. And I said it before and I'll say it again. It's the equivalent of a guy saying, I just signed a, you know, $12 million contract with a baseball team. I don't care if I hit 043. Because I'm made for life if I only get another base hit in my lifetime. So where's my incentive to dive for the ball? Where's my incentive to put my body on the line? Where's my incentive to, you know, dig in for the team? It ain't there. Well, the WWE's incentive to draw fans into the building, it ain't there anymore. And even if it was, it would only be, uh-oh, our TV deal's coming up and we've been having dwindling ratings and dwindling crowd. We better do something to psych up the crowd for the next year or 6 months so we can renew our TV deal. It has nothing to do with fans are dissatisfied. You would think that they would say, now that we got all this money, let's work on really giving the fans what they want and pushing this thing to the utmost. Instead, they're just like, no, now we can sit back and be fat cats. And we don't care what happens. It's become lethargic. The booking has become lethargic. The attitude of even some of the wrestlers have become lethargic because what do they care at this point? What do they really care? What's Kevin Owens' incentive to be a champion? Other than, you know, I might get a little extra money on, you know, pay-per-view revenue and things. Other than that, what's really the incentive? He's getting his fair share of TV time being nothing. And Brock Lesnar's not even shown. Yeah, he's the champion. So there is no real incentive anymore. There's no push for these guys. It's just like, well, whatever. I don't care who I'm fighting. It doesn't matter. I don't care if it's a 20-minute match or a 3-minute match. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. That's a real issue, Mike. I'm sorry, but that's a real issue.
It really is, and that's the thing. I mean, like you said, you've got a $500 million. When a company usually gets a chance, that's the reason why they gave the whole. And I don't want to get too political here, but President Trump gave the company a tax cut because he knew that the company gave the country a tax cut because he knew that the companies would then turn around and reinvest the money into the companies either by equipment or by hiring more people. Well, WWE just made $500 million. Can't
right.
you invest that money into possibly signing another handful of women, maybe a couple of more men, you know? Can't you do that?
Well, even if you don't want to invest it that way, could you not say, look, here's what we're going to do. We are going now. We're set financially for the next couple years. We got a big fat contract. We're going to concentrate really on what the fans want. But now, no, they're going to put their feet back on the sofa and say, this is why they can shove Roman Reigns down your throat. It's not that I don't like Roman Reigns. I do. But that's a failed experiment. And they would not have been able to keep that experiment going this long if it wasn't for their big fat TV deals. If they were relying on fans and they're buying tickets and everything, they would have said, this ain't working. This ain't working. It's backfiring. He cannot possibly be pushed this way anymore. Brock Lesnar not showing up all the time. They would say this cannot possibly happen because we're not getting the revenue that we're paying him big money and we're not getting any revenue back in return. Fans aren't coming because he's not there. So he's got to be there. A lot of the decisions that's hurting the WWE right now, Sabretooth, has been made because they don't need to care about them anymore financially.
Yep, and you're right, man. And as a fan, like I said, man, I mean, like when it gets to be 7 o'clock when I turn the TV on to watch Raw or SmackDown, it starts to feel like a chore, man, because I'm really not invested anymore, you know. And if, you know, and like you said, I mean, like they could have easily just like they got all that money. I mean, how hard is it, just like you said, to invest in what the fans want? I mean, see what the fans want. If they don't like it, try something new. If y'all can afford to, y'all got $1 billion. I mean, ain't like if they don't like it, y'all gonna lose anything from it, you know? Invest in what the fans
right.
want. Like I said,
right,
I'm,
that's
like
my
I mean,
point.
I mean,
but they want to kick their feet back and say, now we'll do what we want because we don't have to cater to the – it's almost like the fans are an annoyance. You know, oh, we got our big fat TV deal. We don't care if we sell any tickets. Of course they want the ratings, though. But the bottom line is, we'll do what we want. They'll still watch. If they were forced to sell out those SmackDown and Raw arenas to make money, watch how different things would be. But they're not forced to. Like I said, they could just give away the tickets at this point. They could say, well, we don't charge to come in to tape our television show. Come on in. Right away for tickets. They could do that if they wanted to. Every other show does. If you're going to go down and see Dr. Phil or Judge Judy or the People's Court or whatever show, they don't charge for those tickets. Those tickets are free. Just so they fill up an audience. You may have to write for one months in advance, but, you know, still the tickets are free. WWE gets the opportunity to say, not only are we taping a television show, but because it's a live sporting event, we're charging $90 or $150 for a ticket. And if the place is half full, so what? Who cares? That's not our income source. We don't care. If we break even, we're okay. Because technically, we should be giving them away for free. See, that's the deal in a nutshell. So this is going to continue. Look, SmackDown was a good little show. A good little show is not good enough. I was only invested in one match, and that was Lana. And here's why. Because, A, I liked the chemistry between Lana and Aiden English. I thought this is actually going to work as them being a team now. And I like that aspect of it. B, they're going to maybe finally do something with Lana and see that the crowd is really into her. I didn't like the victory over the Iconics because I thought that's the wrong people at the wrong time. But still, it was the only one that I'm like, she probably isn't going to win, but I sort of deep in my heart, even though I know it's the wrong thing for business. As a fan, I was like, I hope she wins. So I'm sitting there saying, yeah, I hope Lana wins, you know? And she did. And I'm like, oh, that was great. I sort of didn't expect that. And then the promoter in me says, that was great. But oh, yeah, but that wasn't so great, was it? Because now the Iconics looks stupid. But that initial fan reaction, that's why you got so much reaction live. Like Derek said, that's why that match got the pop. Because there's a clear person to root for and a clear person you hope wins. No one was going to go home unhappy if Daniel Bryan didn't win. No one was going to go home unhappy because Jeff Hardy lost. No one's going to go home unhappy because the Usos lost. Because apparently the club are faces now. Because either that or heels are fighting the Bludgeon Brothers, one of the two. Nobody's going home unhappy because Sonya Deville lost or going home extremely happy because Naomi won. It's all like, okay, big deal. Okay, big deal. It shouldn't be okay, big deal. All of these matches, or at least the vast majority of them, Sabretooth, should be, you know, something you're invested in.
Exactly. That you hit a nail on the head. Perfect example. The whole of AJ Styles Nakamura feud is going on. I mean, Nakamura is supposed to be the heel, but at the same time, I'm not getting that feeling like this son of a bitch but not win this damn belt. I'm not getting it from Nakamura. I mean, like, if he wins that belt, I'd be fine with it for some reason. And I shouldn't feel like that about a heel. I just shouldn't.
You're absolutely right, because there's no incentive. See, they want their TV deal. Again, we're going to talk about this more on Sunday. But they want their big, fat TV deal, so they don't want to do anything to shake up any sponsors. So God forbid Nakamura insulted America. God forbid Nakamura did something really terribly horrible to AJ Styles. God forbid Nakamura, you know, says the wrong thing. Then it's, oh, our TV deals are in danger. We're not going there. See, it's such a huge issue, and people don't understand. If it was just about selling out one building every month, if WWE was just a regional program saying, look, we're trying to sell out one building every month, you can better believe that they will be giving the fans what they want. But when it becomes the building is paying you a lot of money, irregardless if you draw one person or you fill the place up, you then say, I guess I'll do what I want to do then. Because what's your incentive to do anything else? What do you rate SmackDown this week, Mike?
I'm going to go ahead and rate it a B-, and that's only on the strength of the Lana deal, you know. And look, I'll put it to you this way, in terms of the booking and stuff, there's a guy that I used to listen to as a sports talk host named Jim Rome, and he used to get on these guys that run these called the program directors of the radio stations. He used to say this about them. He used to say, you could take any monkey out of any zoo and sit him in a room and have him throw a dart at a dartboard and program a radio station. I'm beginning to think you could do the same thing in booking with the WWE. You could take any monkey out of any zoo and have him throw a dart at a dartboard and say, okay, Jeff Hardy, you're winning tonight, and AJ Styles, you're losing. And that's how. And you're absolutely right.
But you know why you can do that? Because now there's no consequences. You couldn't do that if the consequences were, uh-oh, we pissed off the fans, and next month they're not coming to see our show. But there's no consequence of that, because they've got their big fat TV deal in their pocket. Todd, why do you rate SmackDown this week?
I got to go with Mike there. The same grade.
B minus. Okay, and Sabretooth, how about you?
I'm going to give it a D, man. A straight D, man. Because the first, I mean, like the opening segment was good, but that's the Miz and the New Day. They're going to do what they do. They're always good. But I mean, like the rest of the show, man, I'm going to just give it a D because I wasn't invested in any of it. I mean, the only bright spot, like you said, was like the Lana and the Iconics match, because I love Lana. But the fact is that, like, the way she won, though, and the fact that they didn't capitalize off the fact that there was no heat built from it. I mean, and the whole, like I said, and the whole AJ Styles Nakamura, I'm not invested in that. I wasn't invested in the last match. And most of all, I got the feeling that there's nothing to look forward to next week for a D.
You know, I'm a little closer to you on this. I don't see anything B minus about this show. This is pretty close to a D. I'm going to give it a C minus just because I like the Lana thing so much as a fan, not so much as a promoter, but as a fan. But yeah, I think it's closer to a D than a B. And that's sad. And I think you're right. I think if you look at this show and say, where do we go from here? What next week is making us say, I wish it was already Tuesday? The answer is absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why am I hurrying up Tuesday? Why am I hurrying up Monday? I remember when I was a kid watching Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, I'd be like, oh, I wish, damn it, you know, I got to wait a whole week. And now I'm like, yeah, whatever. Oh, is it Tuesday already? I wonder who's fighting who tonight. Let me see. Almas will fight a jabron. Maybe they'll bring out two women in a tag team match to fight the Iconics. Maybe, you know, Lana and Naomi will team up or something. And then AJ Styles and Nakamura will yell at each other some more. Daniel Bryan will fight somebody inconsequential, and maybe we'll have a Rusev appearance, and that's it. That's it. There'll be no further storylines. There won't be any must-see moment. There won't be any, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. No, there's not going to be any of it. Because they got $500 million in their back pocket, and they're sitting back with their hands, you know, behind their neck going, doesn't really matter who comes out. They're all stars. As long as the fans get to see them all. As long as the fans get to see them all, who wins and who loses doesn't matter much. As long as those ratings stay high, you know, if the ratings get plunge, we'll throw somebody else in the mix. That's how they're doing this booking now, not by fans' reaction. So when I always say you have to be a fan, and you have to say to yourself, what would I want to see if I was sitting in those bleachers? They've stopped doing that a long time ago. And now it's when they say what's best for business, what they really mean is what's best for the bottom line bank account that we have. Not how many fans come through the door. Just don't want to lose any sponsors. This guy can't be too outrageous. We want to gain this market, so this guy's got to win. We want to cater to the women fans, so we're going to pretend to have a women's revolution and treat women equally, but then we'll go to Saudi Arabia and leave them behind. All of it is a big smoke and mirrors thing, is what we're going to be talking about on Sunday. The WWE smoke and mirrors. We're going to pull back. You ever see The Wizard of Oz, where they pull back the curtain and the great and powerful Oz is just the little guy in the hat? And we're going to tell you how the WWE really works, how they book their matches, how they decide who's going to be who, what's going to be what. And it's probably going to be pretty damn shocking, because it's nothing like it used to be, where it was based on the fans and what they want. You are now pawns in their game. You're useful idiots because you need to tune in. You don't need to come to the live shows. Trust me. If the WWE got panicky about that, they just give away tickets. It's done all the time in wrestling. You need to tune in, though. So the TV show is important to them. The live audience isn't anymore. Not particularly. They have bigger fish to fry, and they have bigger people to answer to than the lowly fan. So you're the low man on the totem pole. You're the useful idiot. Not their bread and butter. Anyway, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you Sunday with more WrestleChat Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.